language. It changes your looks. It changes so many things. When people can tell, you know, Jesus has passed by. Amen? And they should be able to. Go ahead, Brother William. Amen. You're all right.
You're right.
Yeah.
It,
man, yeah, it does.
I got saved when I got saved in 1994.
Yeah.
I got saved in college, back in.
Yeah.
I was 39 years old. The only thing I regret is waiting as long as I did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
One day, I came to that crossroad.
Yeah.
Where I had to choose which way I was going to go.
Well, yeah.
The point is, you're right. When Jesus changes, comes by.
Amen. Amen.
The way you are, the way
yes,
you are,
sir.
The way
yeah.
You look at things.
Yep.
And that Monday, when I got saved, y'all heard this time and time again, but I'm not going to get tired of saying it.
Amen. Amen. Something was different.
Something different about you. You look different. Jesus changed
that. Amen. Yeah, he did. Hallelujah.
I said, yes, I just got saved.
How about that? Amen.
I went on my word very well.
Yeah. Yep.
That's our job.
That's it.
What happened to us?
Tell them. Man.
If they can look at you, you can tell there's something different about me.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's the way I want to look at things today. People see me at
work. Yeah.
Before I go, I want people to see who lives inside of me. Mm-hmm. I'm representing him.
Yep.
Like I was said in the Sunday school class this morning, we're representing our Lord. Like he said, we wear our ball.
Yeah,
shirts,
yeah, yeah.
Our favorite team.
Sure.
Well, why don't we put on Jesus Christ?
Amen. Him to everybody. Yes, sir, buddy. Yeah.
So, that day at work, I'll never forget it. It's just joy unspeakable.
Yes, sir. That's it.
We changed the way I talk.
Yeah. Man. Yes, sir, buddy. That's it.
Most of all, he gave me a desire to be in church.
Amen. Yeah.
Something I longed for a long time. I was stubborn and prideful. And Daddy offered me to go to church. And, well, I'll go when I'm ready. But, yeah, when you should.
Yeah.
But you know, you're growing up.
Amen. Amen.
Steve, that could have been my last.
Yes, sir, buddy. Amen. Could have been. Yeah.
That could have been my last time.
Yep.
And the greatest thing, besides my kids being born, is the day I got born again.
All right.
And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep. Say, amen.
When I confess to him that I know and confess I'm a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's
right.
And I've never been the same since.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, buddy.
I'm going home one of these days.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm balding. Brother Carfell, I'm balding. I got plenty of
balds. Yep. Look and you can see them. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Amen. Yes, sir, buddy. Haven't you, buddy? Man. Yes, sir. Man. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. That's good. Amen. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything else you need to say this morning? Anybody else? Boy, it's good, isn't it? Amen. I was listening to that song yesterday. Me and Lynn were listening to some music videos, and these people sang a song, and that's one of the songs. It's good to be saved. Amen. To know that my sins are all washed away. Amen. And my name's been written in heaven. Thank God. Isn't it good to know those things today? I mean, it's good to be saved. Amen. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm just going to read you a little something this morning and talk a little bit, maybe first half of a message, and see what we're in. We've been talking about the idea for the last couple of weeks on Sunday mornings about don't move. Don't move. And, you know, we talk about don't be moved from the gospel, and don't move from, you know, some things that you've been founded and grounded in. Don't move away from those things. And the idea is still that. But I want you to think about with me this morning the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And this goes along with another part of the idea. Over in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm number 11, verse number 4, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations be destroyed. Can I tell you, if the devil had his way today, he'd destroy every foundational thing that you and I stand for according to the Scriptures. If he could, he'd tear up the family. If he could, he'd tear up the morality. He'd tear up any kind of decency and truth and what get into, because that's his aim, that's his objective, that's his thought, that's his mindset, is to destroy anything that God made that was good. Amen? I mean, anything that God made. Lawrence was coming out of Sunday school this morning and got his Bible verse. Y'all heard, a lot of you heard him do his Bible verse. His Bible verse today was out of the book of Genesis. God created beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And toward the end of that chapter, it said, and then God looked at everything he created, and he saw that it was very good. Amen? Can I tell you, from that day forward, the devil's tried to destroy everything that God has made. He don't like the fact that it's very good. He wants to turn it very bad. Amen, right? But look here in 1 Timothy, Second Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible says this: this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this good time of fellowship, the good time of worship that we've enjoyed this morning. Let us just worship you and just give honor and glory and praise to your name, and realize that that's our purpose. Church, as the body, as the bride of Christ, is to praise you for what you've done in giving us your darling son, letting him give his life and buy our redemption through his blood. Thank you for that today, dear Lord. Just bless this time, bless your word, give us the thoughts and the mindset to have this morning, and we'll praise you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And scriptures just for said this is going to kind of go over in the book of Proverbs, number 22 of Proverbs, and verse number 28. It talks about don't move the ancient or I think it says remove, the ancient landmarks. You know, there's a lot of things that go on in this world, and people try to move the set point. Amen. But let me just tell you this. God has set some set points, and he don't want them moved, right? He doesn't want those things all changed or moved from he's placed them in. He wants them there. As a matter of fact, you think about that. If you're going to buy a property, you know what most people do very first thing? I mean, I've just heard it too many times. We're going to get a survey done and see where the property boundary lines are, right? Isn't that what you do when you're buying property? You want to know what it is, where it is, how much it is, and all that kind of stuff, just for your sake of understanding what you're buying. Well, let me just tell you, God has established some boundaries. God has set up some fixed points in this thing of life and of the world and of his creation. God has set some things, and they are standards. And I'm telling you, God's looking for me and you to stay in those places. Don't move. Amen? I just want to encourage you today, don't move. But you get back to what the writer says, what Paul says here to Timothy. As he begins to write it to him, he is telling him some things about the last days. What is happening in these last days? Can I tell you, I feel like people are beginning to move. I mean, it's not just I feel like it. I believe you and I can look around and we can see they're beginning to move. How many times do you say, and I know a lot of people say, well, it wasn't like it was 25 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever it is that you say. But I it just seems to be gaining momentum. It just seems to be rolling way forward. It seems to be out of control. Because you and I can think of times when, man, in time past, you wouldn't have some of the stuff going on in churches today that are going on in our time. I mean, you'd say, well, preacher, and I've been one of them. I'd say, well, that'll never happen. Well, yeah, guess what? It has happened. We've seen the day when churches have their striped flags out there and say, everybody's welcome and we love you no matter who you're married to and what your lifestyle is. Come on in, be part of it. Can I tell you, when your Bible has some set points and some absolute, don't move from those. Amen. That's what your Bible says. So I'm saying there's some things that you don't. There are some places you plant your feet in. You get your shoes solid, and brother, you grab and you just hang what you've got. Amen. Now, Paul writes here to Timothy, and he begins to tell him some things. And he said, "I want you to understand in these verses that we read." That Paul begins to talk about the spiritual condition that we see that this world is in these days. Paul just very plainly comes out and says, no, also. He said, Timothy, no, and I want you to tell somebody else that the last days, perilous times, shall come. I mean, listen, as I say, maybe we need to posterize this somewhere. Maybe we need to ride it. Maybe we need to run it through the skies and have an airplane pull a banner with, hey, perilous times are coming. And Paul spells it out. He said, look, for men shall be. Boy, he's going to tell us some things about the spiritual condition of this world in his last day. And notice just some of the things that he said. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Well, how about that? How many times do you see people saying stuff like, well, it's all about me, or this is me. And McDonald's says, you know, or Burger King says, have it your way. And boy, I'm telling you, anywhere you go, they say, well, you get what you want, you do what you want, you be. And boy, if it feels good to you, then do it. That's the way this world is. People love themselves. They don't care about anybody else but old number one. Amen. And I'm just telling you, that's the spiritual condition. I'm talking about, this is how this world is turning. He said, people will be covetous. He said, they're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers, disobedient to parents. He said, unthankful and unholy. You ever seen a day that we live in where those characteristics are just jumping out everywhere? And you read this, I mean, Paul, we're talking about a time when the church stuff, I'm talking about people that are saved. People are supposed to know the Lord. He said, this is what you're going to find sometime when you go into some churches. Amen. And this is what you got. He said, without natural affection. We got the bunch of hypocrites and then. He said, truce breakers. Nobody, they don't keep their word. False accusers. You in kind, they keep it together and they don't fuss and fume. Fierce despisers of those that are good. They don't want anything good. The devil don't want any good happening, does he? Amen. Despisers of those that are good. He said they're traitors. They turn on you in a heartbeat. Heady. High-minded. I mean, boy, elevated again in self, egotistical and brash and bold, and don't mind telling you, do you know who I am? And well, you know, you're talking to me, and all that kind of stupid stuff. Amen? And he said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. Amen? I mean, what do we love today? Well, we love our ball teams, and we love our rock concerts, and we love our superstars and our actresses and actors and all that mess. Sometimes more than we love God, God help us get your life straightened out over that mess right now. Amen. Understand me? That's what it says. He said, this is the spiritual condition. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. But we deny the power thereof. Well, preacher, it's okay to do this and this and this, but just don't get too religious in it. Amen. That's a problem now. Too people got too religious in it. You ought to get Jesus in it. And if you get Jesus in it, there'll be some power of God that'll stand behind it. He said, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And he says in verse number 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with lust, led away with divers lusts. He said, man, they're not only doing it, they're dragging other people in with them on it. And that's the spiritual. As I say, Paul is telling him, the spiritual condition of the last day. Kind of bunched on over a little bit further, but in verses 6 through 9, he talks about the spiritual confusion that we find in these last days. Again, he said, there are people that are out here. He said, lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers. He said, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. He said, I got good news for you. He said, the world is in a spiritually messed up shape. Condition. He said, and I want you to say the spiritual confusion that's going on today. There are people that are as mixed up as a turn yo-yo. Amen. I mean, they messed up today. They don't know what to think. They hear so much, and well, this one says this, that one says these are that, and blah, 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 and we don't know who to believe. There is a spiritual confusion today, and you put your confidence in somebody, brother, they let you down in a hurry, won't they? I mean, preachers, I was reading this article last night, reading it to Lynn a little bit, a fella talking about, you know, how people are looking at spiritual people today, and they said, you know, some people are afraid to leave their wives alone in a room with the preacher, or they're afraid to leave their kids alone with the preacher, or they're afraid that he's going to get all the money and run off from the church, and he's going to, you know, be the big lord and despot over everybody in the church. Brother, listen, if you get a pastor like that, you better think about getting up and getting out, amen. Because that ain't God's stuff. I know. And guess what? Us men that are preachers, we can make a mess too. And he talks about how there are some of those things that bring spiritual confusion. We do not need spiritual confusion in the day that we got enough other confusion, don't we? And in case you hadn't read your Bible, do you know who the author of confusion is? Well, it sure ain't the Lord, amen. The Lord is not the author of confusion, but the devil is the author of confusion. When you get things and it's all mixed up, let me just tell you, and we've all been there, probably everybody in this house, if you hadn't, you know, bless you, and I'm glad for that, but you get into church where they begin to have problems, it ain't the Lord's doings, okay? It's the devil. He's the author of confusion. He's a liar and the father of lies. He is interested in turmoil and chaos and making a mess out of everything. As I said earlier, everything that God established as good, he wants to get in and mess it up. Marriage, he wants to get in and mess that up. Family, he wants to get in and mess that up. Clean, moral living, he wants to get in and mess that up. He wants to mess up anything he can get his old stinking dirty paws into. He wants to get it all messed up. Amen? You know what that means? That means your life. That means my life. That means my wife's life. That means anybody in this room, if he can get in there and just, you say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, but he can mess with your life. He can mess with your family. He can get in and tear up and just make an absolute laughing stock out of a lot of things. And brother, I'm telling you, sometimes it seems it's beyond our control. He's in the business. The Bible says over in the book of 1 Peter that he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, wake up, because the devil's out there trying to create all the havoc that he can. Amen. Spiritual confusion. Spiritual confusion. No wonder people look up today and they'll come to you sometime. You begin to talk to them. They say, well, we don't know who to believe. This preacher says this. This one says that. This one says you can do this. You got to do that. You got to, you know, all this stuff. There is no confusion when you get into the Word of God in its truth, in its purity, in its simplicity. And the Bible said that Jesus told Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I got that, hadn't you? That's pretty clean and straight and forward, isn't it? Amen. But look, Paul talks about the spiritual conditions that you see and the spiritual confusion. But thank God, when you get on into the latter part of this chapter, he begins out that there can be some spiritual consistency to those that will live for the Lord. It's about that. Look down in verse number 10. He goes on and says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, if you will, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecution, my afflictions, he said, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, wherever I was. Paul said, I had some problems. He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen? He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, he said, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but continue thou. Amen. I know that's not the period, but I want to stop right there. Continue thou. You and I need to continue. And Paul said, continue thou. He said, in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. I'm thankful for the old preachers. I'm thankful for the old deacons. I'm thankful for the faithful ladies and men of days gone by that stood up and said, son, preach it straight, true, right. Preach sin black. Hey, heaven holy, the devil a liar. Preach it today, brother. We need to keep on and continue in those things that we have heard in time past. He said, you continue in those things. Amen? He said, just keep on going. He said, this thing's going to get worse. Let me just assure you, it's not getting better. Oh, preacher, we've got scientists and we've got mathematicians and we've got politicians. Yeah, and they're causing a lot of problems. Let me just tell you that. Amen? It's not getting better. Well, people are getting smarter. They may be getting smarter, but they sure are acting dumber. Amen? Let me just tell you that. It seems like it, doesn't it? That this world is going in a tailspin, in a reverse. And he says, look, that you continue. 15. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. What's able to make us what? He said, able to make thee wise. The Word of God will be wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus. All Scripture. Underline that, highlight it, do whatever. That word, every bit of this Bible, this King James Bible that I got in my hand, every bit of this is inspired by God. Amen? It's right here. This is your guide. This is your letter. This is your substance. This is your help. This is your hope. This is all you got, boys and girls. This is it, right? And it's all you need. Amen. It's all you need. This is it right here. He says all of it is given by inspiration of God. You know what that word inspiration is? The word spire in there means to breathe. Like we talk about, you know, perspiration, that's your skin breathing. Inspiration or inspiring, drawing in air. And expiring, pushing out air. Brother, this word inspired means that God breathed every one of these words in this book. Every one of them. Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? He said, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every one of them. Not just which ones you want to pick and choose and say, well, I don't like that and I do like it. No. Every one of them. Brother, these things, all of these scriptures have been inspired. This is the word of God. That's why it's the truth. He said, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said, hey, it's good for some. It's not just a book and say, well, you know, that's the good book. Brother, it's better than the good book. It is the only book we've got. It is something that God has established, and he's given it to us, he says, for doctrine. Doctrine. Yeah, and here we go again, y'all. Some people say, well, I hate to get into doctrine. I just don't understand it. Well, you need to try. You need to get involved. You need to study. You need to learn. You need to understand doctrine. I know some things are deep, and I understand every bit of that. But let me just tell you, you need it. I need it. We all need it. For without doctrine, you would not understand the doctrine of heaven and of hell, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrines of grace and of mercy. You would not understand the doctrines of God himself and of his son Jesus and of the Holy Ghost and the Trinity as they work together as the Godhead. We wouldn't understand any of that if we didn't go and study and find out about doctrine. Amen. We need it. He said this book right here is it is valuable. It is given. It's profitable. He said for doctrine, for reproof. Sometimes we need reproving, don't we? Amen. Reproving means, you know, doctrine's those things that are right. Reproving is telling you what's right and when you're wrong. Amen. And we need that every once in a while. He says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, how to get right when you're wrong. Amen. What to do about being wrong, in other words. And then he said, for instruction in righteousness. You and I need to be instructed in the ways of righteousness. People think, well, we just throw them out there and they'll just do whatever. No, people need the instruction. Where we get from? Word of God. It is your instruction for righteousness that comes from God. He said that the man of God, right? That the man of God may be perfect. He uses the word we say thoroughly. It looks throughly furnished unto all work. Amen. What's he saying? He's saying, man, we live, and there's coming time, according to Paul, from his of spiritual condition in this world. Spiritual confusion in this world. Spiritually confused. I mean, people don't know what to believe, who to believe, how to believe. They don't know what Bible to pick up. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I'm just telling you, we get everything, and you can get 11 different things of the Bible now, and I'm just telling you, you need to get you a good King James Bible. Well, I can't understand those these and that. Well, it's the same thing as you and yours and mine and I and you and me and all them. Amen? Just try it a little while, it'll work. But I'm just telling you, you need to get in there and understand that. And if there's some word you can't understand, can I tell y'all, when I was about 14, 15 years old, my daddy was trying to read through the Bible. He had a third grade education. He didn't know a whole lot. He'd come in there and he'd hand me his Bible and he'd say, what is this word? What does it mean? I don't quite understand that. And you know what? Background, right? Didn't have the educational background. But you know what? He wanted to. He wanted to learn. And you know what he did? He did learn. before it was all over with, he learned a lot. Why? Because he desired and wanted and got in and dug in and studied and hunted and sought and knocked and asked, and God was able to meet those needs. Amen? What I'm telling you is it's there if you want it. Get in this book. He said it's so that the man of God can be perfect. And I know he's talking to Timothy. He said that word perfect means to be complete, whole. You know, got everything you need, in other words. Perfect. And he said thoroughly furnished, completely furnished with all the things that you need, he says, so that you can be furnished, he said, unto all good works. The stuff you're going to do, we need to do for God. We need to do good works. Why is that? Well, I reckon Ephesians 2 and 10 told us that. That we're his workmanship, created unto what? Good works in Christ Jesus. God wants you to be doing some good stuff. Now I'm talking about good, biblically good. Amen? According to the Word of God, good. Those things that promote righteousness, that are in the direction of righteousness. God wants me and you working in those areas in our lives and helping others go the same way. Amen? Well, like I say, this is just a little introduction. I believe that'd be as far as we go. But, man, I'm just telling you, I want us still to have that same mindset that we've been talking about for a couple of 3 weeks now about don't move. There are some things we should not move from. I know, as I said, there's the spiritual conditions that are all messed up. There's the spiritual confusion that is further confusing the world and the people and everybody involved. But thank God, I'm glad me and you can still be spiritually consistent. Amen. If we'll just follow the Word of God, follow the Spirit of God, and Him in everything that we're trying to do. Amen. Let the Lord lead you and guide you. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song this morning.